We can go to board members. Not feeling well.
Hi. Thanks.
We can go to the WBAI PNB members. Nia? And
okay. Morning, everybody. I'm Nia Bettyalka from WBAI, and I wanted to thank everybody for coming out and sitting and looking us, looking at us again and listening. Hopefully you're not totally bored. I'd just like to to welcome Anthony Riddle, Senior on Democracy Now a lot. Welcome. And I'm sure that you will be a warm welcome and, I guess, happy change. I have a question for Robert. Robert, you mentioned earlier that in terms of the fund drive, that there, I think you said the arts director, the public affairs director, and the news director, that because Bernard is ill, which I'm really sorry to hear that, Bernard, we're supposed to plan the next fund drive, and because of a rumor or alleged something about a coup, that they're afraid to do that. I just like to know that, well, first let me say, it's a little troubling to me that in a time like this, where we're in a financial crisis, that people would not want to cooperate because of, I don't know. I guess I'll let you answer that question. And
you know,
is your backup
plan? This was just told to me by one of my staff. They said that, you know, they heard that there was a coup, that somebody was saying that there was going to be another coup, and that the directors should be involved in it or should basically take everything over, while Bernard wasn't around or something like that. And they just didn't. My staff just didn't feel comfortable taking on the day-to-day operations with this rumor going around. But the fund drive was already being planned anyway. They weren't the directors. Bernard and all the directors had planned the fund drive, but I mean, this was just ongoing plans.
Okay, I'm going to call on Carolyn and then Lisa.
Is more clarification. As a matter of fact, we had a meeting on Thursday. We had a very good meeting, I thought, where we began to plan out began to do the ongoing planning, and now we just have to put some of the things into place. We've identified some of the premiums that we're going to use. We're trying to get some of the people, trying to match up some people, try and get folks on the air working together, folks who have not historically worked together. So I think it's going to work. In addition to that, this is the first time that we're going deep into the Black History Month. And generally, when we do a fund drive, we start in January, and we try and go over into February. And in February, we wind up picking up the pace because we have a lot of material around Black history that folks embrace. So I got a feeling that it's going to be a pretty good fun drive because we have so much material. We got some new material. We have some folks who have died, of course, and have left us with some material that we can work with that I think that that happens. would be stimulating to people and stuff that they'd want to get. So I got a pretty good feeling about this fund drive. We got another meeting coming up this Tuesday, and I think that we'll have it worked out pretty good.
Thanks.
Okay, Carolyn Burton.
Thank you. Actually, my question was for Vajra about the LSB. Two questions. One, of course, is about the minutes, and I'd like to know what explanation or responsibility you take for the fact that this LSB has produced no minutes since December of 2006, without which, of course, according to our bylaws and Robert's rules, nothing is legal. It may seem like a technicality, but it's a legality that may, in fact, come back to haunt us. And my second question is the status of the evaluation. It distresses me to hear you refer to the evaluation of the program director as if that had been legitimate. It was done by the program director's personal assistant. The forms were sequestered in her apartment. There was no board oversight of that, and it really did not exist. So I don't think I see no new plans for a new evaluation, and that old one is not only irrelevant but probably illegal and really should not be referred to. But so far as the minutes are concerned, I'd appreciate knowing your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Right. Well, obviously the minutes are an extraordinarily vexed question and have been since the beginning of the board. I note that the first year of the board, there was a meeting at which a fairly large number of minutes were approved. And I think what we're going to have to do, and I hope we'll do it fairly soon, is to hold a meeting just to approve sets of minutes. As you know, it's unusual for us to get very far in our agenda. So we don't tend to get we don't tend to get to the minutes. So that's also a vexed question. In the absence of the secretary, I'm not going to attempt to answer. The secretary is present. Okay, fine. Well, then she can speak to it as well. Sorry.
Okay.
With regard to the program director evaluation, I believe that all those forms were carefully scrutinized by many people other than the chair. It was not prepared by that chair. It was prepared by a number of people on the committee. There was a working group that pulled together the report ultimately. And that report also went through a number of permutations because there was a questionnaire that was formed by pulled together by one group of people that was unacceptable to the staff, and then things had to be started all over again. And as with a lot of what the local boards are doing, and I'm sure that people from other stations can appreciate this, in terms of much of what the boards do, people are kind of inventing the wheel, and then once we've got that going, we can get it rolling again. So I disagree that it was not a good evaluation. I think that it was done in good faith by everybody who worked on it, and it was a fair number of people who worked on it. I think the questionnaires were well designed. There were interviews with department heads. There was I don't think there were any punches pulled. If you've read the report, I think you'll see that there were no punches pulled. And there it is.
Okay, I'm going to call on Lisa Davis, then we'll open it up. I have a stack of other board members. I've got you, Wendy.
Okay. I have, I guess, a couple of comments as opposed to questions, which is fair. I'm so used to being like Robert Drew, the water, you can't say this then and that and all that kind of stuff. But first of all, I want to thank everybody from WBAI for being here. And I just want to also say it's really great when you sort of know of somebody a little bit, you know of their reputation long before you're ever even that involved in the station, and you know of the reputation because you've seen them in the community at certain events. And I can say I have seen Mr. Riddle. I remembered he was one of the people on the panel. This is just information that you all should know. When the National Hispanic Media Coalition had their hearings pertaining to FCC and the lack of people of color and being able to have access to the airwaves, and I remembered that he was one of the people that was on the panel, and I also saw him at another community forum that I forget exactly the group that sponsored that, but again, about issues pertaining to the media and accessing the importance of people of color. And I've had the chance to see Bernard long before I ever knew I was going to be on the LSB, you know, and I would just see him at various community events, and I didn't even really know him, and I still don't really know him, but that's okay. He probably doesn't even know my name too much. But I just wanted to add a little bit to the conversation our chair mentioned about the archives, and I just think that this is very fascinating information. We should know about it. It will help us to understand even more of what's going on. And one of the things that I was reporting, and this was, you know, questioned, and people have the right to question. I don't ever deny anybody the right to do that. But this has to do with the online archives, audio archives. I'm sorry, the online audio archives, not to be confused with the Pacifica Network archives. But this is a report, and I got it from our webmaster, Pete Caracas, and I did ask him if I had permission to use it, and I'm not going to even say that I understand every part of it, but I did try to do my best. But this is a really It's just a very fascinating report because it goes to show from year to year or annually the numbers and the figures of people going to the online audio archives to download, to listen to programming. And it's just really fascinating because it goes to show according to this, and again, this is not an exact science, but on average a month, at least 500,000 hits requests for files. I will put it to you like that. Requests for files to the online audio archives of WBAI programming. And I have in front of me a rather extensive report that I printed it out. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to make copies for everybody, but I'll be glad to let the audience members know where they can find this information, because it's very important information to have, and it'll be very informative. It gives the breakdown, because I try to be very careful, and there's even some explanation from Joomla, I believe is the program, that talks about the difference between like random hits that just go to anywhere on the page and the hits, I guess, that matters, that are strong indicators. And so the page where it breaks it down, they're either divided according to MP3 files or requests for iPod. I guess people can now link to and have iPod feeds, so there's constant updates coming to them about their programming. But it just goes to show some very, I think, very, very important statistics that are important to have. And I think that this is even really key, considering that I don't think there's starting to be now a little bit more about the online, you know, you'll hear on the show about you can go to the archives and you can listen. But I think that this is just really key, because I don't think there's been that much on it. And I will say I've started to see now in terms of the online audio archives, which I also think is very important, that at least the shows that are, you know, like public affairs, talk shows, so to speak, they're now starting to have descriptions about what the show was about and everything. So when you go to the online audio archives, you see, you know, you see more to choose from. So I just think that's, you know, very, I just wanted to make people aware of this, and, you know, that can add to the website. It's kind of a long kind of website thing. I'll make a copy of this page if people want to get it, because it's... It's https://archive.wbai.org/plus-stat/webstat, and then it cuts off. Yeah. But I do
okay.
have
the
information.
I don't know if we all have that. Wendy?
Thank you. I'm Wendy Schrell from KPFT. Robert, I really want to thank you. I've been on the board last year and watched the progress reports, and I just want to thank you for everything that you've done. And Tony, we're so excited to have you here and looking forward to more great things. I want to congratulate the search committee for the work that they've done, but I still want to point out to the LSB that it seems to cause a lot of confusion and animosity in your community when you have search committees that don't, and I think it's illegal to have search committees that don't bring their findings back to the LSB for their approval. I think they would approve whatever you say if you just bring it back to them. But when you set up a subcommittee that's mostly non-LSB members, I don't think that is the what the bylaws intended. And I wish you guys would kind of look at that for next time, because I don't think it's necessary. I think it creates a lot of bad feelings. My question is for Vajra and Lisa. I'm so glad you guys are so excited about the audio archives. This is something that we've all needed for so long, and the stations are using them. This software that most of our stations are using for Pacifica Online Audio Archives at our stations was written by Otis McClay like 5 years ago. And it took a really long time to get WBAI to install that software, even though he was handing it over for free. So my question is, what kind of money, what did the LSB have to raise money for? Did you guys need a computer or an Ethernet cable or something?
I'm going to ask Bob Letter to answer that, because he was involved. You were directly involved in the fundraising, were you not, Bob?
Yeah, how
I
much
think we
money
owe that
was
money
it?
To Bob.
And,
It was a couple years back, so I don't remember the exact dollar amounts, but it's the annual fees for the server and for the bandwidth expansion and a bunch of other technical requirements in order to maintain an ongoing archive of this volume. To be able to have 90 days worth of 24/7 programming is rather expensive, and I think it's something in the range of $2,000 a year. And there was a generous donor who was willing to come forward with that once they heard of kind of the exciting breadth of this project and what it would mean for expanding our listenership potentially exponentially.
Well, so there was a one-person donation. Okay, thank you. I'm really glad you guys are using it. It's one of the best tools that we have, and as you can see, people are using it. It's awesome.
Okay, Evelyn.
Good morning, and once again, thank all of you. It is a pleasure, Mr. Riddle, to know that you are officially on board. We tried to get you for something else, but we couldn't quite do it. But we're really happy to have you where you are, and we really appreciate it. I also want to thank you, Robert, for standing and staying the course in the face of great difficulty, because I know that it has not been an easy road. BAI is still on the air. And that's the one thing that sometimes we miss in the midst of all that's going on. We miss the fact that it's on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in spite of our ability or sometimes our desire to disrupt everything that goes on during the day. And so we do have to thank the staff, the programmers, all the people involved, for making that possible, and the program director who, in the face of incredible obstacles, stays the course and keeps BAI on the air. That is the most critical piece, because if it's not on the air, it doesn't matter about any of the rest of it. It really doesn't. And so thank you from this board, because sometimes we forget to just say that. My question is basically, with the programming changes that are being proposed, it's always a war. It's a war at KPFT. If you even whisper program change, do you see the hackles go up and people start drawing their sabers? And so, you know, just know that that's the way it is. We have budgetary issues that we are solving. But how do you feel that with the programming changes that will also help to open up new channels for listeners and listener involvement? Because that's also a critical issue in terms of our fundraising ability.
I agree. One of the things that we are going to have is that on Fridays, our schedule is tight, so we wound up opening up some days. Since I couldn't make the changes, at least we would be able to bring some people in, see how they could fly. So in the future, we would be able to see if we could position them in. So we've been doing that over the last couple of years. We had some open spaces where we gave people opportunity to come in, and some of them have done very well. And we have a group of young people, I feel, who have done exceptionally well. We have the editor from Source Magazine, who has all kinds of contacts with the higher echelon of the hip-hop community. We have someone from Beatdown Magazine, the editor of Beatdown Magazine, who are all interested in doing programs at the radio station. So on the Friday evening, we're going to just turn it over to them. And I think that over time, they will be able to bring in a lot of younger people, younger people who have jobs, who can also, because, you know, bringing in young people is one thing, but we still have to pay these bills. So we have to bring in people who we can bring in at a certain level so that they too can get into the habit of supporting listener-sponsored radio. So that's part of the changes too. And, I think it's going to work. I think we're going, if we're allowed to make these changes, that it's going to work. You know, one of the things that I've always said, that, you know, let me make the changes. And if it fails, then get rid of me. But don't stop me from making the changes and then blame me for the program that we have that really was grandfathered down to me. You know, so I think it's going to work. I think we got, they have, these folks have a lot of energy. They're talking about doing things in the street. We need to do more things in the street. I think that they can bring in much, make a real loud buzz around WBAI.
Okay. George Ryder.
Yeah, my question is for Robert Scott Adams. You said that you felt that it was necessary to reorganize BAI from the bottom up. Would you say in as much detail as you feel you can what you see needs to be done?
I mean, the main thing that we need is an office manager. Because as general manager, and Mr. Riddle's going to find this out, anytime something goes wrong, they're going to run into his office. They're going to, you know, the general manager's job should be community public relations, raising funds, FCC. Those are the three things the general manager should be responsible for on an ongoing basis. But if the general manager has to play principal, cop, investigator, social worker, human resources person, it's just too much for one person to do the job that's needed as a general manager. So if I were reorganizing WBAI, I would have an office manager, someone who handles those sorts of things, personnel issues, salary, just the whole thing, as opposed to, you know, all piling on the general manager. The general manager needs to be somewhat insulated. I mean, in most... somewhat insulated. I don't mean insulated from everything and everybody, but he has to be able to operate. He's got to be able to figure out the landscape. He has to have time and the freedom to do these things without being converged upon all the time. And that's what I'm really talking about in terms of reorganization. That's one of the main things.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Dan.
Thank you. This is a comment in support of a question primarily to Anthony, but also to Bernard. I think Bernard has to some extent spoken to these issues. You know, I don't know if people are tracking the conversation as well as the body language in the room the way I am, but when I listen to Anthony and listen to Bernard, my heart soars, and I feel very optimistic that we have leadership that knows what to do and how to do it. And then when I listen to Vajra and to Robert describing the problems, my heart sinks. And that's kind of the dynamic here. Anthony described how the community process is the basis for the success of what we're doing. And I really like that discussion. You have a community process that mediates among the various interests, attempts to balance people's concerns, and so on. But I think the process has become distorted in New York at WBAI. It's become a process of disunity, disruption, obstruction, personal attack. We've heard enough about that, and even litigation. And so the struggle is how to make the community process a supportive process to the staff leadership rather than something that gets in the way. And I think that's something everyone needs to take responsibility for, regardless of which faction you're in or even if you're a faction of yourself. Because the community process has to support what we're doing, not get in the way of it. The question is this, then. Assuming a supportive community process, Anthony, can you describe, and maybe Bernard has a further comment on it, how you see the relationship between programming, Arbitron ratings, and building the fiscal base of BAI?
Well, that's a big one. You know, I owe Bernard some conversation before launching off into, you know, an idea from the outside of what WBAI needs in that respect. The difficulty with community media is that in some way there has to be a slight lack of linkage between the aims of the media and the financial needs. You know, when you're in the profit sector, it's all about, you know, what program makes the most money. That's it. It's a really simple process. You can measure it that way, your success that way, or not. When it's community media, you have to be able to recognize that everything that you do is not going to be a direct financial gainer, and yet you still have to pay very close attention to making sure that, you know, the resources are being supported. So that's all just to say that that it really is a balancing act, and I'll defer, you know, to people who have been working already to some degree on that, because, you know, I think what I can try to bring in the short term is some sense of what's to be expected out of that process, you know, how that process is supposed to take place, and that things can be regularized in a way where people are not constantly upset about everything. But I also think, you know, there's some things that can be brought from some other areas about how you can regularize change even, you know, so that change is not something that, that always has to be forced in and that is always new and unexpected, but that you have some sense of how these things take place and an expectation that they are going to take place in a way that's fair to everybody and that includes everybody's input. I also want to say that I think if we have this meeting a year from now, I think half the things I say will sound incredibly naive.
Okay, Sherry.
You know, as far as Arbitron goes, that my feeling is that we need to use Arbitron as a guide and not as a Bible. That many of the people who we broadcast to are not a part of the whole Arbitron process. That the Arbitron process wasn't designed to incorporate them. But we can use it as a guide when we make decisions. But we have to figure out some other way, or begin to, through our interaction with the community, begin to do our own kind of rating system on the kind of issues that they'd like to hear spoken about, the kinds of programs that might address some of the needs of the community. So I think, you know, we hardly ever get to that, though, because we're always involved in so many other things. But hopefully now we will be able to, you know, when someone new comes in, that also creates a new dynamic. And hopefully out of this new dynamic, we will, of course it won't be 100%, but we will be able to get a critical number of people to begin to move in that direction.
Okay. I have Sherry and Margaret on the stack, and then we're going to go to public comment after that.
I think Rob had it.
Oh, Rob.
Yeah, Rob Robinson. I want to thank all of you also for your report this morning, and thank Robert for his service to WBAI, and welcome Anthony. I did want to comment on the fact that the LSB has not produced minutes. Nobody wants to be secretary. That, in fact, I'm just looking at emails from Mary Berg apologizing for not providing us with minutes from 2002. So it is a difficult process, but I believe that the FCC requires that local station boards do provide minutes. The minutes are not supposed to be detailed, but they're supposed to record the topics that were voted on by the local station boards. And I would urge this board to request or pass a motion or require that not just the WBAI LSB, but all of the stations provide the minutes to us that are required as the stewards of this network. And I just did want to emphasize that it is quite true in Anthony's comments that access is the issue for this network and its stations, but the issue is also some of the things that Dan mentioned, and that is programming. And if we don't have programming, I mean, everybody was writing the obituary for radio a year ago. It's not dying. Radio is, in fact, the most personal and growing media. And the way for us individually as a station or a network to capture audience, which is we are in the media business after all, is to develop programming that is compelling, that serves our mission, and that it entertains people, whether it is within culture or politics, public affairs, or whatever. And I would remind everybody here that Democracy Now!, which has grown into its own empire and very justifiably began as a local program on WBAI. It was, I think, piggybacked onto a program that Amy and Bernard hosted that was also a very successful local program. And the idea of thinking of programming to the universe, I personally don't believe is going to make it. I think that we have to focus on searching for talent, and talent that can make programming that is entertaining and that does serve the mission of Pacifica.
Margaret?
Okay. Thank you. It's really good to be in the signal area of WBAI. I'm from KPFK, Margaret Prescott from KPFK. And like others on the board, Anthony, we are just so thrilled and delighted. This is the first time that I've met you. I like, you know, what I'm hearing. I think many of us on the board are, and we're actually happy that we were able to grab you back into Pacifica. We thought we had lost you. As Evelyn indicated, we were looking for something else with you in Pacifica. And Bernard, I know how it is when you're ill, you know, and you have to really struggle and get on over here, but really glad to see you. And as a programmer, I know and understand the challenges that you face trying to make programming changes. Certainly at KPFK, it's been an ongoing struggle, and we had a former general manager, Eva Georgia, who actually succeeded in making some program changes. And not only for that, I'm sure you know that there were other reasons as well, paid a very, very heavy price for it. But nevertheless, I think in Los Angeles, the audience are glad that those changes were made, although we have to look and see what has been successful and what has not been successful. And I just wanted to say, from the point of view of looking at Arbitron ratings and the success of shows or even fundraising, that what we have found, for example, if you are a programmer and you pre-record each of your shows, and then the production department is spending 5 to 6 hours of production time working on your 1 hour, when that 1 hour gets on the air, it's going to sound great. It's going to sound slick. All the ums and ahs will be out. You know, any mistakes that were made, you could kind of go over. But what then is the cost of the station when you have put in 5 to 6 hours of paying one or two people in your production department to work on that one show, which, great, that it has good sound. So I think that sometimes looking at, I'm just using that as an example, because that happens with some of the programs at KPFK, for example, and we really have to look at, you know, the cost, you know, involved in that. And also for our programmers that are doing live shows that are not pre-recorded shows, the amount of technical support or production support that program has, you know, which makes a difference. I mean, if a programmer is doing a show with no producer, you know, on hand, and just like a board op on hand, it makes a big difference than with a program that has a senior producer on the spot, in addition to the board op, kind of shepherding, you know, that show along. So I think in looking then, you know what I'm saying? I think all of this is involved in looking at the success of a program, and also the ratings that a program that may have really good content content that the community might need, but maybe lacking, you know, that kind of support, and therefore you may fall down. This is just food for thought, you know, something to think about. And also in terms of fundraising and fund drive, that there are a lot of programmers who are on the air but who then don't participate in the fund drive. That there are a few of us that then become the workhorses during the fund drive that the stations really depend on, you know, to kind of bring in the cash. And, you know, other programmers are kind of floating, you know, they get to be on the air, but, you know, really not put in that level of intense work. But speaking of fund drive and fundraising, I wanted to ask about money and about fundraising. The DC station, for example, just did a really fantastic fundraiser. We know that Pacifica, we're in some money trouble, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on some of the fundraising efforts outside of the fund drive that can be done not only at BAI. I think that all of us, KPFK and all of the stations, have to seriously think about what responsibility do the local station boards have instead of the constant fighting with each other for raising money for the station, but also the responsibility of a board and of the stations of looking, thinking outside of the box, outside of fund drive, outside of individual donors, but what kind of fundraising efforts can happen to strengthen your programming, your programmers, and the foundation as a whole. So I'm wondering if I don't know who among you would want to comment on that.
Okay, I just have to make a comment about the time constraints now. We need to go to public comment. We've promised the esteemed colleagues from BAI that they could be out of here at 12, and we have about four more people here on the stack from the PNB, so we can really have to hurry it up to get all of this done. So if you could respond very briefly.
I guess Lonnie will speak about it later on, but we've been already collaborating as a network to begin to talk about what we could do at all of the various stations to duplicate in some way what's happened to WPFW. Our problem, you know, we've always had a lot of ideas about things that we could do, but as usual, the problem was getting the proper resources to put them in place. You needed some money to make some money. And now there's a possibility that that might come into fruition, and we would have some resources in order to establish the kind of programs that would bring in some revenue. Because the way expenses have gone up now, you can get a program, fill up the place, and once you finish paying your expenses, you have no money. So if we can get some kind of way to have that taken care of, so that we can begin to when we have the final tally, that money comes to us. That's the ideas that that we've been discussing. You going to talk about that later, Lonnie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
I have Rob, Mike, Lonnie, and Ambrose on the stack. Could the four of you please maybe just go in sequence and keep it really brief so that we can move on, because our schedule is really getting compressed here. Thank you. Yes.
Since the public has been waiting patiently, yeah, and since some of the panelists also may want to respond to things,
yes,
that they hear, could we take a break from the board, have the public
the
speak,
public,
and then come back to,
yeah,
the board?
I think
and
that
maybe
might work.
If the panelists, yeah, could stay, I don't know if they can stay a few extra minutes. Is that possible? Maybe to 12:20?
It's, well,
12:20.
Okay.
12:20.
Okay, well, that, in that case, then we can go at a more leisurely pace. We go to public comment right now, and I have a list here which begins with Monroe Littman, Sarah Flounders, I think Robert Gold, and the gentleman with the movie camera, the video camera, sir, in the front row. Do you think, would it be possible to move that to the back? I mean, just so that you're not obstructing the viewpoint. I mean, I don't, there's no problem with your videotaping. It's just that setting up right in front without consulting with the board members. Well, that's probably the worst. That's probably the worst reason to be here, because members of the public aren't under any obligation to be videotaped or recorded. But I think we are, as an open meeting, you know, provision. But would it be possible for you to move the camera to the back, please?
Yeah, not where you like, though. Not where you like.
Yeah. Yeah. It would just be courteous. Yeah.
Do you want to sign up? Sign
up. Jack, you can go right there.
Okay. Pardon me? No, it's not. No objection to being videotaped.
He's just talking about not blocking.
Just not blocking the view of others. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.